You're listening to the 12 Days of Christmas on KFUO. I'm Sarah Golseth. We're taking a break from the music to talk about some of the hymns and songs that we're hearing during this Christmas season. Joining me in studio to talk about a few of our hymns is the Reverend Robert Zagore, Executive Director of the LCMS Office of National Mission. Welcome, Reverend Zagore. Thanks for joining me again.
It's a great pleasure, Sarah.
So today we're talking about Lutheran Service Book 367, Angels from the Realms of Glory, 368, Angels We Have Heard on High, and 369, Where Shepherds Lately Knelt. So let's jump into LSB 367, Angels from the Realms of Glory. What can you tell me about this hymn?
Well, this is one of those really great lyrics. It's very poetic, and it was originally written as a poem by a Scottish minister by the name of James Montgomery, who wrote dozens of hymns that made it into hymnals and hundreds of poems that didn't. he was just one of these overproductive guys who spent all of his time writing, and everything turned into a lyric. This is probably the most famous thing that he wrote, and as you read through it, you see that this isn't just a song. This is great poetry.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a great use of language, and I think that we Americans kind of like the way that Englishmen and Scotsmen turn a phrase, and and this is among the high points of that. It's a tune that's gone all over the world, or at least a hymn that's gone all over the world, but everybody sings it to a different tune, no matter where you go. Our Lutheran Church of India sings this at Christmas time, and they've got a traditional tune that they set it to, and you can go, there are dozens and dozens of different hymns in dozens and dozens of different places, and if you go to Scotland, they've got their own tune for this. So even though it's written by a Scotsman, you'll go to Scotland and they'll say, well, we don't know that tune.
That is really interesting. Well, now I want to hear how the Lutheran Church of India sings it. We have to reach out to some of the people we know there and see if they can sing it for us.
That would be fun.
That would be awesome.
Next Christmas, we'll have Christmas around the world.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah. Year from now. What should we pay attention to in this text with the really great poetry? What verses kind of stick out?
Well, among the things that really strike me is in stanza four, where it says, "Saints before the altar bending, watching long in hope and fear, suddenly the Lord descending in his temple shall appear." That's a quote from Malachi, mm-hmm. or at least a paraphrase of Malachi. "The Lord whom you seek will suddenly appear in his temple, even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight." All of these stanzas are very, very biblical in their allusion. And you get the idea that Jesus didn't just say one day, "Hey, I think I'll save the world." This is part of a long process where God, from before he created the world, knew what he was going to have to do to love us and was willing to do it anyways.
Mm-hmm.
He knew that it was going to cost him his life. It was going to cost him his son. It was going to cost him suffering. And this idea that those in glory knew that this would have to happen, and they waited with anxious expectation for the salvation of the people that they love and their own salvation, it's just a very powerful image to me and a very powerful Christmas image.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's so interesting reading through the texts of a lot of these hymns that we sing about the Christmas story in a broad sense in all of these hymns, and
mm-hmm.
yet each one, there's an emphasis or a focus that we can really narrow in on in all of these different texts.
There really is. Montgomery loves the Old Testament. You can tell because all of these stanzas have their own hymn that they are. So I'm sorry, their own Old Testament stanza verses that they're associated with.
Mm-hmm.
For example, the shepherds in the fields abiding and watching over their flocks at night. You can tell as he's talking about this, God is now with us residing. Yonder shines the infant light. He goes to Isaiah.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about Isaiah in one of the other hymns that we're talking about here, too.
Mm-hmm.
But he goes to Isaiah, God with us. Emmanuel is the Hebrew translation. And so each stanza talks about one of those promises that people have relied on and people were waiting to see fulfilled, and Jesus came. And that's why it's such a big celebration and why the shepherds ran with joy, because this really is the hopes and fears of all the years are met in the tonight, so to speak.
Absolutely. Anything else you'd like us to know about angels from the realms of glory?
Lots of things, but you'll never get through it if you let me keep talking.
We'll be here for another 24 hours. Okay, moving on. Lutheran Service Book 368, Angels We Have Heard on High. I think hopefully everybody that's listening probably knows this one.
Oh, yes. Yes, the long Gloria.
It's the memes with the Gloria in Excel sheets. I just saw that on Facebook today.
In Excel sheets.
It's great. It's great. What would you like us to know about Angels We Have Heard on High?
Well, besides that in choir, I was told that you had to sing it eggshells.
Yes, I learned that too.
None of us learn Latin well. It's a French tune, a traditional French tune, and it comes right out of the French countryside, and it may be, and this isn't by any means certain, but it's a great story, so I'm going to tell it anyways. It may be built on the way that shepherds and shepherdesses called their sheep. That whole lyrical sound, and if you hear them out in the field, you'll still hear that. They've all got their tunes, and the sheep know their master's voices, Jesus said. And they tend to sing to them, and it could well be that this is built on a shepherd's tune that was sung out in the fields in France.
That seems to come from
the Alsace-Lorraine region, which is, is that where you're from?
That's where my family's from.
All right. And there are a number of different translations that have settled in over the years to this, and oddly enough, not that many different tunes, which means that they're probably trying to preserve something in this.
Yeah.
And of course, Gloria in Excelsis Deo, glory to God in the highest. It's just the message of the angels, a perfect Christmas Eve song, and it's one of those. I always go back to congregational singing because I think it's so important for Lutherans to preserve this great heritage of ours. And that's one of those where you always have three or four people in the congregation who just go crazy with this. Some people think, oh, they're showing off, but I absolutely love it because you can tell that they've been waiting all year to let loose with the different descants on the Gloria.
That is true. I'm a fan of descants. what is there anything we can point out in the text other than the Gloria? The rest of the text is pretty short, but it's still has a lot to say.
The text is very short, and I think most people know this. Sweetly singing o'er the plains. Now that's an interesting thing because that's probably a biblical reference that most people aren't catching. The plains, because most pictures that you see don't have shepherds out on the plains. But the writers of this hymn, whoever they were, seem to understand their history a bit, because those shepherds were out in what was known as the Plains of Boaz. You may remember Ruth and Boaz. Ruth was a Midianite woman, one of the forerunners of Jesus, and Boaz was a great agricultural magnate at the time. He had lots of fields and lots of sheep and lots of crops. And the widow Ruth ended up marrying Boaz. And it was almost miraculous that he had saved her widowed mother-in-law, saved all of the other people that were associated with that family, and out of that family came the Savior. Mm-hmm. And those were known even to this day, but were known throughout the time of Israel's expectation of the coming of Jesus as the Fields of Boaz. And those shepherds were out in the Fields of Boaz, which was fascinating because if you go out into the Fields of Boaz in Israel today, you'll find a bunch of limestone caves, and in those limestone caves are where they kept the animals.
Huh.
And so Jesus very likely was born just at the perimeter of the fields of Boaz where the shepherds heard about it, and it's whoever wrote this knew that. It's just a wonderful, wonderful thing to grab hold of, and even a single word gives us so much.
Yeah. Wow, that is fascinating. Anything else about angels we have heard on high before we move on?
Come to Bethlehem and see him of whom the angels sing.
Absolutely.
It's wonderful, and he wasn't in Bethlehem at the time. He was just outside of Bethlehem. They wouldn't let him stay in town, but it's just kind of the way that these go. A lot of these are kind of like storybooks, and you've got to understand that they're going for the poetry. They're not always going for the precision.
Mm-hmm. All right, moving on to our last one, Lutheran Service Book 369, Where Shepherds Lately Knelt. And this may not be familiar to a lot of people, but it's definitely worth the time to read the text, if not sing through the whole thing.
It's a fairly modern hymn. Mm-hmm. And many of the people who work around the building with you and with me are good friends with the two authors.
Yeah.
And Carl Schuck, who wrote the tune of this, you were telling me you had a what around Concordia?
Schuckapalooza.
That's right, because he was a very prodigious writer and arranger of hymns and tunes, and so you can go for days singing,
yes,
Carl Schuck tunes.
Fantastic Carl Schuck music. Yeah, absolutely.
And I'd imagine that a lot of our congregations have choral anthems written by him.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
During this Christmas season. Mm-hmm. Their choirs are going to be singing it. So ask your choir director who wrote the arrangement of the hymn that the choir sang, or the anthem the choir sang, and there's a good chance they'll say Carl Schuck.
So let's talk about this text. It's a fantastic text, packed full of stuff.
Oh, we could go days on this text, but... Mm-hmm. The one line, or the one stanza that you pointed out as we were talking about it before we got on the air, mm-hmm, how should I not have known Isaiah would be there, his prophecies fulfilled, with pounding heart I stare, a child, a son, the Prince of Peace for me, a child, a son, the Prince of Peace for me. And what he realizes as what Vanya realizes as he's writing this is that everybody who knew Isaiah knew who this boy would be.
Mm-hmm.
That it was almost as though Isaiah was standing there at the stable as the baby was laying in the manger, because you've got Isaiah 7:14. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. And Isaiah chapter 9, and to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the mm-hmm. increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, and he shall sit upon his father David's throne and rule in righteousness and innocence forever and ever. It's just a great line, and so many people hear that, they think it must be in the New Testament.
Right. Yeah,
because it's so accurate. But that's all of Isaiah, mm-hmm, which is wonderful. It talks about his life. It talks about his ministry. It talks about where he's going to do his ministry. It talks about him dying on the cross. It talks about him rising from the dead with such great accuracy that it is like Isaiah was standing there.
Yeah,
and this is a tremendous hymn. The lyric is tight and beautiful and deeply biblical.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I say this with great love. It sounds just schmaltzy enough that it can become a tradition.
No, but I can agree with that. Well, and I was just thinking about the perspective of this hymn is very different than the perspective of a lot of these other ones that we sing. This is the perspective of someone standing there in the stable,
right,
looking at Jesus, which is it's so different from any other hymns that we sing.
The others are descriptive of the event, and this is sort of first person. Mm-hmm. I'm standing here, I'm at the manger, and whoa, look at who's showing up.
Yeah, it it pops you right there, right in the middle of what's going on.
Which is really a beautiful thing, especially, and this is where I used this last Christmas when I was in the parish. It's a great Christmas communion hymn.
Mm-hmm.
Because you really are kneeling there with the shepherds, and
and
it's just a beautiful, beautiful image.
Yeah. So pastors, if you're listening, well, this is after Christmas, so
but well, you've got 12 days.
Right. Well, sometime in the next couple of Christmas services, even though it'll be Epiphany, throw this one in there. See if your parishioners notice.
You know what? They can do Epiphany Eve.
That's
do a 12th night Christmas service.
There you go. That's great. Yeah. Yeah. anything else? I know there's probably plenty of other things to say, but anything else you'd like us to know about where shepherds lately knelt?
Well, this is the favorite hymn tune, or the favorite hymn that my daughters sing.
Oh.
They love this. And they really love the line, and I do too, where it says, "In that unlikely place I find him as they said, sweet newborn babe, how frail, and in a manger bed, a still small voice to cry one day for me, a still small voice to cry one day for me."
Hmm.
You know, that goes back to the prophet Elijah running away, and God speaks to him in a still small voice.
Mm-hmm.
And now that still small voice is in a baby laying in a manger there for you. That's a lot to celebrate.
Yeah. Absolutely. My guest in studio, the Reverend Robert Zagore, Executive Director of the Office of National Mission. Thanks for joining me to talk about some of our Christmas hymns.
Lots of fun. Thank you.
Absolutely. I'm Sarah Golseth. We're back to the music.